Hello, this is Gil Broza. In this short presentation, I'll share with you how we at 3P Vantage support our clients along the Agile journey. Our approach is quite different than the usual training and coaching that are on offer in the Agile space. We've evolved it over many years of supporting hundreds of leaders in almost 100 organizations. Our clients have been diverse in terms of size, industry, and the kind of work that they do. That said, their concerns were pretty similar when they first reached out to me. The following situations are the three most common starting points that we work with, but certainly not the only ones. One, the Agile implementation, whether homegrown or based on framework like Scrum or Safe, doesn't perform too well, leaves many people dissatisfied, struggles to take hold, or is hamstrung by traditional management. Or they've installed processes and tools and adopted practices. They've adopted and improved some things, but you can see that they're not enough for achieving business outcomes, like shorter time to market with the same headcount, higher customer value and engagement, good visibility and reliable planning, and an easy adaptation. The third situation is that they have a few development teams that are succeeding with Agile, but there's need for organizational or business agility beyond that. And that's where things get complicated. If we dig deeper, we often find a striking commonality. Managers got to this point doing what they were supposed to do. People are trained, they have the tools, the teams have the right roles, they're empowered, managers have stepped back, and they're removing impediments. All of these are right and good. They've done nothing wrong, but somehow the gap is still there. The reason for that gap is that real, actual Agile is very different from what they had before. But that difference is hidden from sight. Sure, you need process, you need practices, you need tools, and they're clearly different from traditional ones. But real Agile is a matter of the choices and decisions that people make as they engage each other in work. Choices such as evolving over predicting, focusing on value instead of busyness, outcomes instead of outputs, controlling the cost of change as opposed to the cost of work, collaboration instead of silos, and of course, getting real feedback and acting on it forthwith. These choices and others are what I refer to as an Agile mindset. Unfortunately, helping people adopt it is rarely a result of replacing practices and roles, or saying that it's good for you, or leading by example, or coaching. Getting to real agility is 100% a people thing, which makes it contextual, because every group and business are different. And as you know, the human element is complex, right? There's buy-in and inertia and alignment, confusion, and a whole host of human-related issues. Therefore, our approach focuses on leadership, mindset, and culture over process, practices, and tools. And it's called Right Fit Agile because clients need exactly that. Just like if you are shopping for gloves or suit, ideally, you want custom-made ones instead of the one-size-fits-all. Right? They could fit, but not quite. Our approach is not an Agile framework or a methodology. It is an application of Agile principles to the matter of achieving agility, effective, productive agility, without stopping work, taking forever, or making false moves. At a high level, we're looking at three major steps: map the journey, prepare the people, and optimize the path. Now, let me now explain what each one's about. So in step one, we help our clients develop a promising evolutionary path to agility, which is based on a holistic view, their existing capabilities, and contextual choices. And that path starts where they are. Some of our clients had been practicing Agile for 5 years before inviting us to help improve things. You need this type of path because Agile, again, is a people thing, and it affects the entire system. This outcome consists of three key results, which are sequential. Here's the first one. The first thing you need is clarity. Why does the current way of working look the way it does? If you already have some form of Agile, why is it delivering these results and not better ones? And if you haven't started yet, what is your current way of working optimized for? You're looking to understand the system, forces, influences, limitations, and effects. Second key result. You need some vision for agility. Understand what it means to you and how you'd like the organization to be better or different. Based on the understanding of the system, determine your strategy. At a high level, How will you get to agility? And what milestones will that take? And third, just enough specifics for that first milestone. Process changes, team structure changes, new practices, tooling, stuff like that. Logistically, this step usually requires a few days of data collection, maybe 3-4 days on average. We never require more than 1 hour of any person's time, and then several strategic conversations between us and senior leadership. Throughout, we make sure people feel safe to be transparent with us. In fact, many of the senior leaders who have hired us have commented favorably on the depth of our analysis, despite how little time we took and how reserved their teams usually are. In step two of Right Fit Agile, we get to the point where the teams, their leaders in their vertical, and their stakeholders are mentally prepared to reach that first milestone together. Why? As we said, success depends 100% on the human element, and thinking affects doing. So we align the thinking first. We're not trying to get a try to first time kind of waterfall style. We want people to learn by doing and by experiencing together. But we also want to eliminate predictable and unnecessary trouble like disengagement, misalignment, blame, and confusion. The first key result in that state of preparedness is willingness, confidence, and ideally enthusiasm. Now, if there are concerns and resistance, it's not enough to eliminate them. We don't want people to be indifferent to or tolerant of the journey. We need people to be willing to go on the journey. Second, we upgrade their mindset and skills just enough. After all, this milestone implies a change, whether a big step or a small iteration, and you don't want people bumbling into it. Now, if we see that training, as in courses, would be a welcome and cost-effective way to upgrade mindset and skills, you know, rather than only on-the-job learning, we customize our training to the context instead of following a generic agenda. Training is usually a day or two per cohort, and we often train leadership as well, even up to C-level, on leading in Agile and supporting the change. Third, we facilitate alignment, not just to the vision for the work. You know you have to do that, right? That's obvious. But to the way of working, and more importantly, to the mindset. That means that as people work together, their choices align. They don't optimize for different effects, like one person striving for predictability and another for adaptation. Notice the importance of the sequence here. Willingness comes first, then it's deeper understanding of what they're getting themselves into. And only then alignment can be meaningful and possible. We don't rush it. It might take weeks or months, although the actual activities tend to be small, spread out, and often one-on-one. Remember, we do all of this without putting any work on hold. The third step is we want to optimize the path. We want the whole community to reach its Agile milestone, what we determined earlier, with minimal risk, time, and headache. One key result we look for is that their mindset, like again, the choices they make as they execute, is in line with the original intent. We also want to see an uptick in the team's health, engagement, morale, and performance. Another qualitative measure is that when we talk to people, we can tell that they genuinely don't want to go back. So that's what we aim for. Now, to be effective with this step, there's a lot to know, but I want to share with you 3 points that I've found to be super helpful and are really part of every engagement that we take on. The first is to realize that when it comes to growth and adaptation, we need to balance conflicting forces. On one hand, people have a lot to learn and discover and adapt because, you know, even with all the thinking and planning that we've done, it's hard to know exactly what would best fit the group. That's why we apply agile thinking to the journey. On the other hand, they shouldn't have to take years of wandering and trying different things. So we balance learning from mistakes and learning from those who have come before. Second useful point is to help the managers move out of siloed accountabilities and into shared ownership with other leaders. This is hard, but doable, and it makes a world of difference. Third, we want to keep the process minimal. When we do that, people have to fall back on principles like finishing small, valuable work together, right? As opposed to how exactly should I write user stories? That's what we're going for, not compliance with some checklist of practices. We're looking for agile choice making. Now, as you know, agile itself is not the goal, right? It's a vehicle, an approach to work that should help you accomplish certain business outcomes like this one. If you engage us, you're likely to see several additional benefits. You'll see trust spreading throughout the system. Relationship with stakeholders will change from consumer provider, and you know what that looks like. There's often blame and stress, to partnership and collaboration. Okay, you won't have to supervise the teams much anymore, and you'll have to resolve fewer escalations. You will be able to spend your time on more strategic, valuable, and just, you know, personally interesting work. There will be less of that frustrating mentality of, I did my part, I don't know what happened, or they didn't do their part. Contribution and action become the norm and a virtuous cycle that works in your favor. And another positive result, that one's a bit tongue-in-cheek, but I have seen it many times. Executives admire managers who create such environments and promote them to repeat the feat on a larger scale. Before we close, let me share an important point, which is that waiting to improve your agility is not a winning strategy. How organizations are, which is culture, and how they work become stiffer with time. Like you get a stiff back from sitting too long. Correcting that situation is harder, costs more, and takes longer. And beyond the impact to business, leaders suffer personal consequences. Their job gradually becomes more stressful and frustrating. They lose good people, it gets harder to replace them, it becomes even harder to deliver results. So don't wait to fix things. They're more fixable now than they will be fixable later. I look forward to speaking with you further. Thank you.